Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Outdoor Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Kelble, and today I'm going to interview a National Geographic intern. Her name is Sarah Biedelman, and she actually won an award for her investigative journalism piece. So I'm going to talk with her about that. She also loves to write, and she has great writing, such as Isabel's Aftermath, that I would love to talk with her about. She also has outdoor photography, travel photography, really, really good. I'm definitely going to link the blog in the description so you guys can take a look at it, but I wanted to interview her today because of how hard of a worker she is. Of course, she got her internship at National Geographic, and I know my listeners probably love National Geographic. I know I do. It's a huge network, and I would love to be involved with that one day, possibly Discovery Channel 2. So I'm just very excited for this interview, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So here you go. So first off, tell me about how you grew up and how it kind of led to you creating your blog.
So I grew up in Northern Virginia, in a suburb. I have three siblings and then my parents. We're definitely very, like, sports-oriented growing up, so always was running around from practices to games, that sort of thing. I went to a Catholic school from kindergarten through high school, so I kind of knew a lot of the families and friends for a long time, for most of that part. So I had a very fortunate upbringing.
Okay, good. So how do you think it led to what you're passionate about now? Because I know you're passionate about several things.
I think it just started with just looking at everything from, like, a different angle. And I definitely think that that's partly due to my dad always having a camera. And I just would take it out of his hands, you know, like playing around, taking pictures, that sort of thing. Then just trying to, you know, who has the better, like, artsy shot of whatever. It was just kind of a fun thing to do. So I got into that. And then my parents always joke that I just had way too many stories when I was little, just making up things. So I definitely got into writing and just storytelling when I was young, and I just loved making up things and looking at everything from a creative. So I think both of those really drove me into where I am today.
Okay. And I know that you started photography with your dad, like you said. You have some amazing travel photography that I looked at, but you also do film, nature, and people. So what have you learned from your dad through photography?
I think the biggest thing that I learned from him was, you know, definitely capture the moment, but also don't forget to live in it too. Because I think, like, there were times I did get so caught up in trying to make the perfect shot that, you know, some things might not be fun anymore because I was just so focused on that. So you definitely have to, like, put the camera down and enjoy it sometimes. And also just learning that, you know, don't be afraid to get an imperfect shot because those are what's going to make the photos unique and maybe make it perfect.
Yeah. And what's your favorite memory growing up with your dad?
Oh, there's so many. I guess just, like, all of the little adventures we do, like, whether it was, you know, traveling for one of my lacrosse games, or we would just go on little hikes and walks around kind of my neighborhood where I grew up and the local trails and parks that we had. So those kind of spontaneous things were probably my favorite memories.
That's really nice. I'm close with my dad, so, you know, I've grown up in Colorado, so we have hiking trails everywhere here. So, yeah, we love to go hiking. My dad has a piece of land up in Teller County that we go and take the dogs and we hike, and there's horses nearby we can ride. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And then I know that you went to James Madison University. You wanted to combine everything you were passionate about growing up. You said that you studied SMAD, is that correct?
Yes.
So it's at the School of Media Arts and Design.
Yes, it is. We call it SMAD.
Okay. And then you combine majors like journalism, digital video, and cinema. So explain to me how you got there.
Yeah, so I didn't really know how I was going to go out, like, the creative aspect. When I was going into college, I was kind of like, oh, there's nothing like, you know, a professional yearbook that I could do. Like, there's magazines and stuff, but, like, how do you go into that? Like, what should I major in? So going into JMU, I found out about SMAD, and it was really nice because there are multiple concentrations. So you have your journalism, you have your film, you have, like, mixed media, and then I ended up with creative advertising. But the really great thing about it was we took classes in kind of all of the concentrations. So I was in advertising concentration, but I still could take my journalism class, and I still took, like, a film class. So having the ability to kind of dip my toes in everything was really great.
Yeah, and then that sounds so interesting. I love film myself. So I work for the TV station at my school, and I'm learning videography and interviewing people there. So, yeah, it's definitely a passion, so I see where you like it. So kind of tell me about how SMAD led you to National Geographic.
Yeah, so when I was looking at internships, National Geographic was always kind of top of mind. I've gotten, or I did get, all of the magazines when I was little, like the Nat Geo Kids. And I just loved what they did. I loved the brand of it, their look. They really just had it down. So I knew I wanted to go in and look at that. So when I was kind of first starting to look at internships, I knew my godfather actually is a writer for history books. So he had worked with National Geographic in the past. So I went in looking at their books department, and that's kind of how I got in with them, because it was working with all of the explorers who wrote books or photographers who did books for them. And so that's kind of where I found my little niche and got in there, I guess.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me about your day as a National Geographic intern. What did you do?
So it was really varied, you know, day by day, week by week. National Geographic has a really good internship program. So usually, like, I want to say it was like once a week, we met with like all of the interns from every department, every, you know, position, whatever. All of the interns would get together and sit for, like, let's say a presentation on resumes, and they would answer your questions and really help you with your career development of where you were going, which was very helpful. And then we'd have that, and then my day-to-day tasks really varied. Like, I might be researching influencers for a new book that's coming out and who we would want to advertise to. And then, you know, a newly released book, I might be gathering reviews for them and just collecting that data. I also had the opportunity to like design digital posters for their marketing strategy and email marketing. And then I worked on copy and book descriptions for, you know, email, social, and digital ads. So they really allowed us to kind of get right in there and work, which was great.
Yeah, and it seems very broad.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, not many students, I think, get a National Geographic internship. So I think that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, it was definitely overwhelming. I mean, you go there and you sit next to some of the smartest students I've met, but they were all amazing. And I made great friends from not even just in the United States, but from around the world they came. So it was a really amazing opportunity.
Wow. And then you said that you collected magazines, the National Geographic magazines, when you were a kid. So, as a photographer starting off with your dad, did you look up to any of the National Geographic photographers or writers within the magazine?
I mean, I would probably say it was anyone, really. There wasn't anyone specific that, at that time when I was a kid, that I knew enough to follow. Definitely as I got older, and especially once I was there, there were some photographers that I knew of, and I loved their work, and I ended up having the opportunity to meet them or sit in on a presentation with them when I was at the internship, which was just really, really cool, really fascinating.
Wow. And I know that I really like Paul Nicklin. Do you know
him? Yeah.
Yeah, I love him. And then I just like the people that are a part of that network because they're so passionate about nature and the earth, protecting the environment, which I love.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just think that's so important.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, one of the people I got to meet, which was really cool, was Joel Sartori, and he's the one who did PhotoArk. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Yeah. And I loved chatting with him. He's doing all of this great work just trying to, like, photograph all these endangered species and really get records of it. And the way that he does it with just a black or white background, yet he makes his photos so interesting. And your focus is right on the animals. I think that's just so, so cool. And all of the work that all of the explorers do is really just amazing, and their dedication to their field.
Yeah, and they're passionate about it. And I think, you know, a lot of people aren't super passionate about their work, which is sad. So that's what I like about National Geographic is that everyone is so passionate about what they do, and they love it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you can definitely see that when I was working there, there was an Explorers Week, so all of the researchers, explorers, they all kind of came back and, you know, gave presentations or were just there for, like, networking and catching up with friends. And just the energy in that room and throughout that entire week was just on another level. Like, everyone there is so passionate about what they're doing and also, like, what each other are doing. It was very nice to see kind of the teamwork behind it as well.
Yeah, I bet. And I bet you made some really good friendships, too, that'll carry throughout your life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then I know that you've traveled a lot of places. You have amazing travel photography, like I said.
Thank you.
What's one of your favorite memories you've had through those times?
It's so hard with travel. I feel like every place is so different. But I would have to say one of my favorite trips was I had the opportunity to study abroad. Going into my junior year of college, and that was the first time that I went abroad by myself. And I think just that period in my life, it just was huge for me. It allowed me to grow more than I expected going into it. Mm-hmm. Being able to live in another country for a couple months, the people that I met, I mean, I got new experiences and new perspectives. I think that that trip really was just kind of a turning point for me. So I'd have to say that one.
Amazing. And then I've been to, my mom's a flight attendant, so I've been to Peru. Oh, wow. I've been to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Paris was really cool. Yeah. I love the museums there. I like history a lot, so just learning about different historical sites was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I definitely think so. My friend and I, after we graduated, we ended up doing a few weeks in Europe, which was amazing. And we went kind of along Spain, Italy, and stopped along, you know, all of the historic sites and museums and everything.
Yeah, that must have been incredible. I loved visiting the Louvre. That was very, very cool. Yeah,
we didn't get to get that one in, but hopefully next time I get to go back.
Yeah. So how did you get this ability to travel so much?
I really believe that it's just because I've liked it so much. I made it a priority in my life. I mean, I had a job since, you know, 15, where I would just save up and plan for that next trip. I definitely think, again, my dad helped me with that because he was so passionate about, or he is so passionate about traveling. That he was always encouraging me to, you know, look wherever, feel free to go, wherever you want to go, kind of thing. So I think that really helped, and we definitely are the worst influences on each other of sending each other, like, oh, look at this, like, look at this, like, we should go here. So definitely having that kind of support behind me definitely helped push me to travel.
And then, is your dad a writer, too, or is that something you learned on your own?
No, he's more just a photographer. Just as a hobby, though, he never did it seriously. I just kind of picked up writing just from the fact that I just loved the storytelling, and I loved reading when I was little, so I just wanted to make up my own stories from that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I started my travel blog. Was I went, I guess it was after I went to, like, Germany and Switzerland. I came back, and it was so much fun, but, you know, you look back and you're like, oh, what was that name of that place we visited? Like, just not knowing all of the details. So then when I went to Ireland, I was like, okay, this is going to be a long time. We're going to go to a lot of things. Like, I definitely want to remember this and have an account of it. So, that was the easiest way to do it. And also let my family and friends back home know what I was up to.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, you're a very hard worker and you created your blog, which is amazing, especially in college being so young. So, yeah, I really like your writing and what you do. It's really good.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So you have an article called Isabel's Aftermath. And I like that piece of writing because I think it was emotional for you. And it was about your grandfather. So tell me a little bit about that piece of writing and how you wrote that piece.
Yeah, so I think when I was in school, I had an amazing professor who probably unknowingly pushed me into doing creative writing as a minor. And that really got me back into writing. I kind of didn't write too much in high school or anything. So I took one of his classes, and one of the prompts was, it was a nonfiction class, and it was saying how memories, you know, they kind of grow over time, and it might not be accurate to what had happened, but they're true to us and what happened. So the prompt was to write about some specific memory in your past. And I think I got the idea to write about what Hurricane Isabel and then my grandfather, kind of combining the memories, because it was just such a big thing on my mom's side of the family, mm-hmm. and it, like, would still come up. So, like, my grandfather passed away, and then very shortly after Hurricane Isabel hit, and pretty much destroyed my grandparents' house.
Oh, wow.
But it was just kind of walking back through that of her not wanting to tear down the house and rebuild.
Yeah.
Because my grandpa put so much work into it, and now he's gone. You don't want to lose the house. Very, like, tough decision for her to make and the family. And I feel like I was only 7 at the time. So the memory is just so crystal clear, surprisingly, of, you know, visiting the house after that. And then as you grow and get older, you know, the siblings, my mom's siblings, they would talk about it from their perspective. So kind of all of these other stories played a part and became kind of like my own memories and me picturing it. So for this, that article, I just kind of wanted to capture that. And I feel like it became, not meaning to, because it is just kind of a common topic in my house, but it became a very emotional piece because I was just so young at the time. It almost felt like I was processing it for the first time.
Yeah. And I think definitely tragic and emotional events stick with us more than something that might have been positive or made us feel happy, just because of the effect that it has on us. And so I think...
Exactly.
I think while it's difficult to write and it's an emotional piece, I think having people read your writing and sharing it with the world, you can relate to people in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was the kind of crazy thing about it was, you know, us visiting the house after, I didn't really, like, I was like, oh, this is sad, but you're 7 years old, you're just running around playing in the flooded area, not really realizing the effect, until looking back now, and then, especially getting older, and, you know, the effect of it on other places, like Katrina even, you know, so, just seeing what it really does and can be, so...
Yeah. Yeah. And then, as for my last question, what do you think people can learn from your grandfather, and what's something you really look up to him for?
I guess the thing that I look up to him for, I mean, even now, he's been gone for a little while, but his just dedication to the family and his hard work, he would go to night school and put himself through school and while also raising a family with my grandma, so he could be an accountant, and still be able to have fun. Like, there's still countless stories that always come up of, you know, my uncle getting in trouble and he's laughing at it, or his humor about everything. But his big thing was really just his dedication, and he made it a point to make sure that everyone in the family was welcome. Like, he would cook an entire Thanksgiving meal and make sure everyone had food and plates, and just making sure the family gets together.
Yeah, I love those kind of people in life, because I feel like that's really rare to have someone so caring.
Right, yeah.
So it's very special. Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
No problem.
I really appreciated this. I'm going to look at your blog a little more.
Yeah.
And, yeah, thank you so much. I wish you luck on your future.
Thank you, and same with your future as well.
Thank you. I got an internship opportunity at Discovery Channel.
Awesome, that's great, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So I hope to work there in TV, and who knows where that'll lead, but yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, definitely keep in touch.
I will.
And good luck on everything.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you should send me some of your photography sometime, and yeah, we'll just keep in touch.
Yeah, I will,
for sure. Okay. Yeah. Have a good day, Sarah.
You too. Bye. Bye. Thanks for this.
Yeah. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Sarah Biedelman. I know I did. I loved hearing about what she did at National Geographic, how broad it is, who she met, the presentations she was involved in, and then her writing, especially about that hurricane with her grandfather. I think that's a touching, emotional piece, but it's important to learn, and I think, you know, writing is something very vulnerable, but I think if we share it with the world, we can connect on a deeper level, which I know writing is a hobby of mine, and I love to write as well. So, yeah, it's just important to always connect with people on a meaningful level, I think. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I look for relationships, I always look for meaning. And I love to have meaningful relationships in my life, meaning I don't really want to beat around the bush and connect with people that I don't really see myself being around in the future. So I think that's just how I am, and that's how a lot of people are, and that's a wonderful quality to have, because we always need to connect with people in a meaningful way. And I can definitely see that with Sarah. And what's interesting to me is that the human brain, it actually remembers still photos more than it does film and TV. So as a society, we are very into TV and film and, you know, YouTube, watching all these things, thanks to the media that we have access to nowadays. But I think as the human brain, it actually works on a level where you remember things in still photographs. So I think one of the reasons why I love Paul Nicklin and Brian Scurry, I think I pronounced his name right. He's a marine photographer. He works with whales. He has done amazing photography underwater, and I love his stuff too. But that is something I learned from him. And then what's interesting also is that we have explored less than 5% of the ocean, which astonishes me because it's a part of our planet, and it's a huge part of our planet, and we have yet to really dig deep into what's in the ocean. So I think learning as much as we can and how to protect these amazing environments, such as the coral reefs that are dying, unfortunately, and the marine life, such as sharks and whales and our orca whales, I think it's so important to learn as much as we can. And I think a lot of people have watched Seaspiracy lately. And one thing that I asked Kinga Phillips is, do you agree with this perspective that Seaspiracy has? And she said no. You know, a lot of the information is false and it's uneducated. And I think that's so important to learn, because she would be one of the people to know, you know, about the ocean, right? She's so into it. She loves the environment. She loves the marine habitats. And so I think learning from her and seeing where she lies and stands on the matter really opens up my eyes and opens up people's eyes, because not everything you see as good of a film as it is correct. And so I want you guys to know that. And he was talking a lot about veganism in the film and how we need to all be vegan. And I don't know about you, but that's not realistic. And that's false information. It's uneducated. And I have learned that within people from National Geographic, like Kinga Phillips. So I just wanted to let you guys know, because I think it's important to know. I also would love to interview a country artist, and this will be just a bonus episode, but her name is Callie Twisselman, and if you don't know her, she has a hit single called Two Hands, really good if you're into country music, and just she is a very hard worker. She's been wanting to be a country singer since she was little, and she has gotten that opportunity now, and very, very good at what she does. I can't wait to interview her and see her passions. So once again, guys, thank you so, so much for listening. I really appreciate you guys being a part of this podcast. I know it's been a while since I've done an episode. I was sick for a while, and then, you know, sometimes I just need a break. So I took the break, and that's all right. Sometimes you just need that. I hope you guys really enjoyed. I know that I will keep you updated on where I go, what internships I do. I'm doing an internship this summer at my local news station, so that will be super exciting. And I'll keep you updated. I will update my blog that you can check out in my description. And I know that during this time, it's been a huge struggle for everybody with COVID and with personal struggles that people have gone through during these really difficult times. But I want you to know that as someone who has struggled severely with depression in the past, it does get better, and it's going to get better. And I think for me, you know, my faith is in Jesus, and I absolutely love Jesus Christ, and because of that, I know that my pain will not last forever. And, you know, for those of you who have a faith with Jesus, God is so much bigger than the worries that you're obsessing over, the past hurt you can't seem to heal from, the pains of growing, your loneliness, the fear that holds you back at times, the huge mountain in your life that seems impossible to overcome, but you will overcome it with the Holy God. And I think it's important to remember that as you go through your life. And for me, I always focus on Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So thank you so much, you guys. And I really, really appreciate you once again. Have a good day.